Good morning. This is Sherry Burns at Long Lane Honeybee Farms, and you are listening to our next broadcast of our radio show. And I've got here with me David and Karee. And David, you were up bright and early this morning. So how's the hive manufacturing going?
Well, it's going pretty good. We got a lot of orders to ship out and trying to stay ahead of it before I get behind. And so it's the shop is a mess because we don't have time to clean up all the wood on the floor and all the scrap laying around. We're climbing over things. And, you know, it's cold up here, so we always have to keep our couple of... We got a propane heater on the wall and a little salamander kerosene heater to keep warm. So it's a little bit harder to build hives in the wintertime than it is in the summertime when you can open up the doors and enjoy things. But, yeah, we're staying up. I don't think we're behind on any of our orders.
Well, I'm sitting here all snugged up in my blankie because it's cold this morning. It's not so cold as it has been. It's just really windy outside today. But we have several ways to purchase hives. You can do it online at honeybeesonline.com. Another way that people do it is on eBay. And also you can call us at 217-427-2678. And I do want to make a comment about eBay. We have a lot of repeat customers on eBay, and I'm not sure they know, David, that they can just call us and order hives.
Well, you know, I've wondered about that, because when you go through eBay, you have to pay more fees. Well, we do. I don't think the buyer does, right? But we have to pay the fees. So they're not doing us any favors by continuing to buy on eBay. eBay allows us that once we sell you a hive through eBay, we're allowed to then give you, you know, our contact information where you can go to our website and purchase things directly. This saves us a few bucks if you buy directly from us. But I think some people like eBay. They like paying with PayPal. And there is a security, you know, it's just a level of peace of mind and security that when you buy something on eBay, you know, you do have the leverage of making sure that you get what was described, and there's, you know, and I hate to use the word retaliation, but there's some reconciliation more than if you just buy something from a company online that you don't know that much about. So maybe some people purchase through eBay for that reason.
Well, if they call us, they'll get exactly whatever it is that they order, and our customers call us a lot, and they call us over and over again so that we can help them get exactly what it is that they want. Now, you know, something that I really like are those bee lessons that you put on. I get one right in my email mailbox, and those are so neat. And I saw where you were getting ready to do another one about hygienic bees. Now, you need to explain what that means, because I thought all bees were hygienic.
Yeah, the bee lessons are enjoyable for me to do. I noticed last week that one came out when it wasn't supposed to. Like, I don't know why that was sent out. I don't have control over that when the lessons are sent. Like, you can subscribe to receive them, and I just got the last lesson, you know, like a few weeks after it went out the first time. But I don't know what happened there. Some glitch on their side. But, yeah, I am writing a beekeeping lesson on hygienic bees, and the title is that keeping hygienic bees is an absolute must. This is so important because I don't think everybody understands how important it is to have hygienic bees. Some people think that all bees are hygienic, but that's not true. Only 10% of the bees that we have now are hygienic bees. Did you know that?
The bees we have here in our bee yard?
Well, overall, all the bees in the United States, only about 10% have the characteristic of being hygienic.
Okay, so what are those characteristics?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, you know, you think of a bee always being hygienic because they don't void themselves inside their hive. They fly out. Anything that you put in the hive accidentally, like a piece of grass that gets in there while you're doing your inspection, or if another fly or an ant crawls in there, they always take things outside. So they keep a nice, clean hive. And they have good grooming behavior, but that's different than hygienic behavior. The hygienic behavior that I'm talking about and teaching on is the ability of some bees to be able to detect any kind of mites or bacteria, such as American foul brood spores, that may be in a sealed brood, and they open that sealed brood up and take the disease or the pest and the larva out so that it can't spread. They have that much of a hygienic behavior. And that's what we're going to be doing, adding to our queen production next year, is this hygienic behavior, the search for the hygienic hives, and that's the ones we'll raise queens from.
So the queen is the one who decides whether or not the workers are hygienic.
Well, all the characteristics of the daughters come from, you know, 50% from the queen and 50% from the drone. So in the best world, you're going to have hygienic behavior that you take from the drones. Like if you get enough bees in your yard that are hygienic, then they produce hygienic drones, and those drones mate with queens of another hive that have that same hygienic trait too. So you have hygienic traits being passed down to the daughters of the queens. Yeah, the queen is the one that carries all the traits that passes those down to the daughters.
Okay, so you and Cree are working on breeding a queen that does that?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not all that hard to do. A lot of people don't understand what is involved in it. It's not that hard to do.
So how do you determine if your queen or your colony has those hygienic properties?
Well, we actually will begin running tests on our hives. And here's what you do. I'll kind of summarize it very quickly. You pull out a frame of a sealed brood, and these are just worker brood that's sealed over. You take a 3-inch diameter metal can, or maybe something like a dryer vent hose, that the hard metal dryer vent hose, something that you can punch into the comb until it hits that mid-rib section of your comb. And then once you have that 3-inch circle metal pushed into the comb, in that 3-inch diameter are 160 cells, and you pour in liquid nitrogen. And when that liquid nitrogen, you pour 10 ounces in that 3-inch diameter tube, and that liquid nitrogen is so cold, it's like a negative 300 degrees, you know, and it instantly kills all the brood underneath the sealed area, freezes them. And then once you freeze them, you take your pipe or your can off the frame and put it back in the hive. You wait 48 hours, you come back, pull that frame up, and you look to see how much of that 3-inch diameter brood that's dead, how much did they clean out. And in 48 hours, if you go back and it's all cleaned out, you know that's a hygienic hive. If you go back in 48 hours and they haven't touched it, they're not a hygienic hive.
Okay, now are you saying everybody needs to do that, or just those of you who are breeding queens?
Well, yeah, I mean, a person who's not raising queens doesn't need to do that, because there's no advantage other than for them just knowing whether they have a hygienic hive or not. But, yeah, those of us producing queens, this is essential that we incorporate this characteristic into our queen-rearing operations so that we know that the queens that we are producing have these hygienic traits, so that it cuts down, I believe it's going to cut down on the mites and on the disease. You know, this isn't something new, by the way. A name that everybody probably knows that's listening is Dr. Marla Spivak, and she actually is the one that's kind of headed up the Minnesota Hygienic Queen. And, of course, that has the name hygienic in it. And that's what she focused on, is making these queens that were very hygienic. This is a work that's not new to her, though. It's a work that's been going on, believe it or not, since the early 1900s. I forget his name. I have his name in my bee lesson. But he started it back in the early 30s. And he determined then that in the mid-30s that he could cut down on American foul brood from 70% to 10% by raising hygienic queens. Now, all that work kind of, you know, it seemed like it just kind of got left on the back burner. There were notable people throughout the 40s and 50s and 60s and 80s that continued the work. But it wasn't really until the mites got bad that now there's more interest in this hygienic characteristic being bred into the queens, because now we feel like they can detect that there's reproductive mites below the sealed cell, and then these queens or the bees can then remove it if they have these strong hygienic behaviors. And so that's what it's all about. That's what the lesson is about. And it's kind of neat. I've been researching all about how to use the liquid nitrogen and how to do the tests and all. And I've got it down to a pretty good explanation on how we're supposed to do it.
Why do they use the liquid nitrogen?
Well, you know, they used to actually cut the comb out and put it in their freezer and let it freeze overnight. And then they would take, you know, the next day or two, they would take the frozen comb and stick it back in the hot and back in this frame. But that was a lot of work. And so a gentleman realized, I forget his name, but he realized that you could just pour liquid nitrogen into that little can, and it would save you from having to cut the comb out and damage the bees.
How do you pour it onto the frame?
You know, liquid nitrogen is very dangerous because it's so cold. If you got on your skin, you know, you could lose a limb or a finger. I mean, it just instantly freeze. It'd be instant frost, it almost be like a burn. It would just instantly freeze your skin. Maybe in school you might have remembered they used it for science class, and they would dip things into it like a rose and drop the rose on the ground. The rose would shatter in thousands of pieces. It would just freeze things so hard. You have to actually dip it out with a ladle and pour it. Now, some people use a styrofoam cup. It doesn't affect a styrofoam cup. But liquid nitrogen is always boiling. If you look at liquid nitrogen at like room temperature, it looks like boiling water. And so you have to really be careful. You need to wear the proper hand protection, goggles. And if you know, it's real important to wear shoe or boots that if you spill some, they don't go down into your shoes because it will, you know, go down there and just burn your feet up.
Ooh, it sounds like maybe that ought to be left to the professionals.
You know, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm not professional.
There you are.
You know, liquid nitrogen is how do I say this? It's something we get from our own atmosphere. I don't know how, but it's dirt cheap because it's a product of our atmosphere. It's like $3 a liter. So if you know those 2 liter Cokes, are they 2 liters? Is that what they almost 2 liters? You know, it's like $6 for, but you have to have a special canister, and it's like $500 for a canister to carry it in. Keep it from boiling over.
Do you need any kind of a special license or something to handle that stuff?
No, just a library card and a Sam's Club card, maybe you'd do it. No special license. And another thing I'm looking forward to is tonight I'll be going to Terre Haute, Indiana. Terre Haute, Indiana. Terre Haute. Terre Haute. Some people that don't know how to pronounce it use all those different pronunciations, but it's Terre Haute. And I'll be going there tonight to speak on beekeeping. And for the life of me, I can't remember the group, whether it's like, you know, the Lions Club or Wanted. I don't remember the actual title of the group, but I'll be going there and sharing tonight and on beekeeping, and I'm looking forward to that. Got a lot of hives to get built and painted before I can take off. Got to leave about 2:30 today to get that under the way.
David, do you know what the date is?
Actually, I don't. I've been so busy. Is it the 9th? I don't think you know. Let me look at my cell phone. And let's see what it says here. I got this new BlackBerry, the Storm, you know, and it's taking me a while to get used to it. Hard to find the date. Oh, there it is. It's December the 9th. I was right.
December the 9th. Do you know what happens in only a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I know. We were talking about that this morning at breakfast. It's time to start taking orders in less than a month for packaged bees.
You know, but that's neat because, you know, spring is on its way. I don't know what it's like where you all live, but here we've had snow for a couple of weeks, and it seemed like winter just really hit us hard, and we've got icicles hanging off the house, and we haven't been able... Of course, the business is keeping David busy, but we just haven't been able to get to some of the outdoor things that we wanted to do because the weather moved in on us and got so cold, and all I want to do is stay toasty in my bed. But my goodness, here in a few weeks we get to start ordering bees.
That was just a cat running through the room. Two cats were chasing each other.
Oh, my goodness. I thought the roof was falling in.
You know, we do have, we hear that sound that sounds like that. Ice will melt. We have a metal roof, and ice melts, you know, when it warms up, and it starts sliding. We live in a two-story house. Is it three-story or two-story? It's two-story, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a two.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like we have two different levels of roofs, and the top roof, it's an old farmhouse that's been added onto, and that top roof will melt. The snow begins, and then it slides and hits the next roof and goes, boom, and it's a weird sound when we hear that. It kind of takes you off guard like it's an earthquake or something. Anyway, you were talking about packaged bees.
Well, in just a few weeks, people could start calling us and ordering packaged bees. I think you said the date was January the 5th, and this year you can get a 3-pound package with an Italian queen, and you know how much they cost?
And that's a marked Italian queen.
Oh, you can't not get a marked queen. I'm sorry, but everybody needs a marked queen, so we just mark them all, whether you say so or not. I know in some places you got to pay extra for it. We don't charge you extra for a marked queen here.
Yeah, that's right, and the color would be green. And what did you ask me, what the price was?
Yeah.
Oh, $75 for a 3-pound package. And we're proud of these packages. It's not a bunch of drones. It's not a bunch of old bees. You know, it's our supplier goes to a great extent to make sure that these are good, strong, healthy packages. They've been inspected. They're in good shape. And last year, our customers were very happy.
You gotta place your order with a credit card, though. We've got to be able to pay for those some way, even though if you order them, it's kind of, you got to put your money down with them, but you can, if something happens and you've got to cancel out, you can do that with a reasonable amount of time. It's usually, I want to say it's about a month before the actual ship date. You can still cancel your order if you need to do that. But remember, when you call in to order them, you have to call in with a credit card, and your cards are not charged for a while. They're charged later on in the spring, but you need to do that. And then we get everybody down on a huge list and get it all ready to go, and we'll tell you an approximate ship date, and there's going to be, I'm not for sure, but I think we talked about two ship dates this year. One of them probably be late April, and one of them might be late May, something like that. But it's just going to be two ship dates this year, so you're going to have to rearrange your schedule. If you've got places to go or things to do, or Aunt Bertha's birthday is coming up, you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, my bees are coming in. So that's what it's going to be like this year.
You know, all in all, last year we had, you know, great responses, you know, from our customers. Everybody was excellent. But we have to say this, I think, just for, you know, there's always a few people out there that they get anxious. I mean, it's not a negative thing. It's almost like a woman having a baby. They're, you know, we had some ladies calling us and saying, how are my bees doing? Where are they at now? You know, how far away are they from my house? And I mean, when will I get them? And what do I do when I get them? And, you know, they were all so excited. And when will they get here? What time will they get here? Will they be delivered to my front door or my back door? And these are things that we don't have a clue about. Once they're shipped, we have no control over when they arrive. And most people ship it through the U.S. Postal Service. And, I mean, it's no secret. The United Postal Service, they can ship it there. They may deliver it in 2 days, and they may take 5 or 6 days. But the bees, they can stay very healthy in their packages, you know, for 5 or 6 days. It's not that bad.
We send a letter out after you order your bees and try to tell you some more specifics like that. But they do go priority mail, which means 2 to 3 days. And there are some post offices that they take a look and see that those are bees, and they ship that baby fast. But there are, just for some reason, and we don't have any idea why, there are just sometimes it takes 5 or 6 days. We had one lady, it took 10 days last year, and I think we did have to replace those. But what you need to do is, after the ship date comes, you need to patiently wait and wait for those bees to come in. And there's not a lot we can do once they get into the mail system. We can't track those babies to see where they're at, but after, I believe we agreed after 5 business days, if you haven't received them, then call us and we'll try to find something out for you.
Yeah, and another thing people need to realize is that once the bees are shipped, we've done our part, and if they arrive healthy, you know, there's always some dead bees on the bottom. You just can't help that. And it's not uncommon to see the bottom of your package coated with dead bees. It could be a half inch thick, maybe, of dead bees. It's just, you know, some bees get kind of shaken up too much when they're, even when they're in the field being shaken into the packages. And others just get, you know, for some reason they get killed in the package or whatever. Don't worry about a few that are dead. You're going to see dead bees on the bottom. It's just they're livestock. But when you get them and they're healthy and they're all there and your queen's in good shape, we've done our part, and now it's up to you to do your part. And so, you know, be very studious about looking at our beekeeping lessons on how to install those packages so that you do it right and you release the queen properly. Once we ship the packages, sometimes people want to say, hey, I want this to arrive on the Tuesday before I go out of town and all that. And we're not always able to do that, are we, Sherry?
No, there really isn't any way to do it. We did it a couple of times last year, and I think we got it fairly close, but we just cannot guarantee when they're actually going to get there from the time that we mail it. So there just isn't any way that we can do that, David.
And this year we may actually ship them all on one day. And so our customers are just going to have to take a day of vacation. I mean, treat it like you would if you're watering your basement. You had to go home and take care of it. I mean, you know, you got to tell your boss, my bees are coming. I got to go home and take, you know, receive my bees. But you should call your post office and let them know that you have bees coming. Give them an approximate date that we'll give you that they may arrive. And your post office will call you on a cell phone. And then you can jump in your car and go down there and pick them up. It's a fun thing, but it is great. I remember the first package I bought. Man, it's so fun when the post office calls you and says your bees are in. You go down there and the postal workers are, you know, they're happy. They're like, oh, cool, look at the bees. They ask questions about beekeeping and you go home. It's just a grand time to have a lot of fun with package bees.
Do you remember that one shipment we got on Mother's Day one time?
Yeah, about a week early, wasn't it? You know, Mother's Day is on Sunday. The post office called me on Sunday and said, your bees are here. And I'm like, I didn't think you'd be open today. And she's like, well, I always come in on Sunday to get ready for Monday a little bit. And I noticed the bees were here. And if you want to come get them, I'll meet you at the back door.
Yeah, that's something, too, that's kind of interesting. They just drive along on those trucks. And the postal service is in transit all the time. So I know there have been some customers in the past who've said, oh, my gosh, you know, it's going to show up at the post office on, you know, what happens over the weekend? Where do they sit? Well, we, you know, don't necessarily know that, but we do know that they're in transit over the weekend. And ours showed up on a Sunday afternoon. And again, it was not anything that anybody could necessarily anticipate. We had about 20 packages. And I remember where you were, David, but I had David Terrell, that's our oldest son, was here with me, and she called and she said, they're down here. I think there's about 20 packages. And she was a little nervous because she thought some of them had gotten loose. And there is no way the bees can get out of those packages. What actually happens is when they're packaged up, they have their little sisters will actually, you know, attach themselves to the outside of their package if they didn't get in there, and they actually fly along with them to wherever it is that they're going. And so when they actually showed up, there were, you know, several loose bees. So they'll call you really, really, really fast when they come in. So you might get that call in the middle of the afternoon. And it's okay. You can wait until you get off work and drive down there and pick them up. And the post office, our post office is excellent about taking care of our bees. I can't vouch for everybody's post office, but she knows all about how she's supposed to keep them in a certain temperature. And she keeps them in the shade, and she does all that sort of stuff. So hopefully your post office will be just as good for you. Please don't let anybody tell you that bees cannot be shipped through the post office.
Boy, that's true. Listen, we've shipped bees through the post office for over 100 years. We had people telling us last year, well, I called my post office to tell them I was receiving bees, and the postal worker said, you can't ship bees. You just tell whoever sends you those bees that the post office doesn't accept live bee, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, just sit tight. When they arrive, they'll call you. And so don't buy into that. Some postal workers just aren't informed about it.
We had a good handful of people who called us and said, well, they just told me that they won't come through the post office, and I'm worried now. And I think even a couple, two or three people called and said, UPS won't deliver bees either, but they do, because we had to send several UPS last year because we needed them to get to people. If they're out of our zone, the only way we can ship the bees quickly is UPS. And yes, UPS delivers bees also.
Yeah, but UPS doesn't insure, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And you also have to put up with whenever they come to your house and deliver them. So yeah. You might want to call UPS and see if you can find out an actual delivery date, because they will come and just drop those off on your back porch or someplace like that. So you might need to call them and say, either be there or make sure that you've got your garage door open and they can slip them inside your garage or something like that.
UPS is great. I mean, we're on a daily pickup because we ship so much. But, you know, one time before I was raising queens, I ordered, I don't know, like 10 queens. And the UPS guy, you know, as soon as he got in my area, which was really early in the morning, man, he called me up and said, hey, I need to bring these queens. I don't want to haul around my truck all day. So, you know, they're really good about that. But yeah, that's about the post office. You know, this was really a great year. Our post office is so good about when we ship our queens out. I don't know if customers realize this, but they actually do like a heads up. They determine where I'm shipping queens, and somehow they make sure that they can get my queens there in 2 days, and they don't go on hot trucks. They're not put in buildings. Nothing's thrown on top of them. We spent the whole year last year perfecting that, what kind of container to put them in, how to mark them, and wow, our postal service, if you were to go to our post office while we're producing queens, they have a special container, and she's got this big thing with pictures of bees on it and queens, and she puts them in this nice container to make sure, you know, nothing gets stacked on them or that they get inside any room where there may be pesticides or, you know, sprays or anything. So they really go out of their way. And I can't remember anybody ever getting a queen that was a problem once they got it. I think they all arrived in good shape.
Yeah, they did. Once we started working with this postmaster, her name is Becky, our postmaster is, and the post office is in a little town. My goodness, there can't be, I don't know, 300-400 people in that town. But she is so sharp. I don't know if she used to work in a big city post office or what, but she really knows what she's doing, and she treats those bees like children.
She really does. She's great. And that's our post office. We actually have a post office, since we live in the country, a post office that's closer to us, a few miles. And I started working with them for a while, but I just had to go back to Becky. She's really good. So, yeah, keep in mind, it's going to be January the 5th. We want you to call in, place your orders, have your credit card ready. And I had one or two people last year that I was too benevolent with. They said, hey, David, I want to put me down for 10. I'll pay you when I get there. And I'm not going to do that this year, because I had one guy that didn't show up, and I was left. I mean, I had to pay for these, you know, to get them.
I
was stuck with them.
He ordered 20, didn't he?
Well, he ordered, yeah, he didn't, it was bad. And he, you know, he didn't even call me or anything. And it was like, oh boy, what happened? And, you know, he just kind of dropped off. So we do have to make sure that we get your payment, or we have a way to charge your card when you get ready to, we get ready to ship your packages. Another thing I wanted to say too is that those of you that have raised chickens, you got to look at your bees kind of like that. You know, we've tried to raise chickens, and boy, chickens, they're sensitive when they're little, you know, they die easy. When you're dealing with livestock like this, you've got to follow our lessons and our descriptions on how to install them, how to take care of them. Use our advice well, or you may lose them. And they can swarm or abscond away from the hive once you install them if you don't follow our directions. They can do funny things. If you get more than one package, you install two, one of the packages can leave their hive and go in with the other hive. You can't really call us back and say, hey, my bees did something funny. I want another package. I mean, like I said, we do our part. We deliver a healthy package and a queen to you. And then you have to be a good student and a good beekeeper and take good care of them after that.
Oh, that's so sad when people call up and say, oh, my bees left.
Yeah.
You said absconded. I always say swarm, but a swarm is when they have a new queen going and
yeah.
they need to leave. But absconded is just when you first get them. Is that right? And they, for some reason, don't like where they're living, or for no reason at all, they just all take off.
Yeah, it can be for any reason. You know, like if you have small hive beetle really bad, they don't like the small hive beetle larva in there, and they can abscond. It just means they leave the hive. The whole hive leaves. A swarm is when they divide out and multiply, and some of them leave, some stay behind.
Well, but anyway, it's really sad when people call and say this happened, but it happens. You know, it's like going and getting that dog from the pound, and you wake up the next day and it wandered off. You know, you just don't know why. But it's kind of sad, but that's the risk that you take.
And if that happens to you, you know, don't worry about it. Just call us up and say, hey, my hive, my package swarmed, it left. I need to order another one. And generally, we can do that. I mean, we did that all the way up until June, I think, last year, you know, making sure people got their second attempt. Or it doesn't happen that often, but there is about a 25% chance that your package can just up and leave. And it doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It doesn't mean your hive equipment is bad. It just means that for some reason they didn't like, they preferred to go somewhere else. So like Sherry said, it's kind of like a dog just running off. You know, you don't know why. You were feeding it, you were watering it, you were doing your part, it just left. But if you follow our instructions, I think I'm pretty sure, it's my opinion that I can get you never to lose that package, once you install them.
Yeah, people always try to find a reason for why they leave. Well, was it this? Was it that? You know, did I do this wrong, or did they not like the paint on the hive or something like that? But it's just the force of nature. It's just an act of nature when it happens.
Yep, that's right. All right, so that's Package Bees coming up January the 5th. Call us. Here's our telephone number. You've been waiting for that number, haven't you? 217-427-2678. And if it's busy, and it probably will be at times, just keep calling back and we'll get to you. We only have one line to take your orders. This is the equipment section of our broadcast today. I want to share with you different types of feeders so that you can keep your bees fed well. And there are several different kinds of feeders, and you'll find that these feeders work better for you in some situations, maybe different times of the year. Some feeder might work better than at other times. So here's what we have on ways to feed your bees sugar water. There is the top feeder. It's a plastic reservoir that your bees can climb up through a thin wall and not get into the reservoir and drown, but stay in an area where they can hang onto the wall and drink the sugar water. It holds a little over a gallon, maybe some of them 2 gallons, and it sits right on top of your hive, maybe your deep hive body, and you put your top cover on top of it after you fill it up, and your bees can be fed that way. It has its advantages and it has its disadvantages. And the advantages are you can fill it once and don't have to fill it very often because it holds so much. Disadvantages, it's on top of your hive, so if you need to inspect, you got to deal with this gallon or two of sugar water up there. And another disadvantage is inevitably some bees seem to find their way into the reservoir and drown. Another type of feeder is a frame feeder. It's a plastic, for lack of better words, a plastic container shaped like a frame. It goes in place of a frame. Fill it with sugar water and has little notches on it. Bees can crawl down into it, hang on to the side. And the advantages of this is you can put it close to the cluster in late fall, early spring. And before the bees are flying good, they can start drinking some of the sugar water. And then the other feeder would be the entrance feeder. That's probably my most favorite feeder. It's the little metal feeder that slips into the front of the hive And you just put a mason jar down on top of it. It has an opening for the mason jar. Poke some holes in the mason jar, tiny little nail holes, not too big, not too many, and let the bees just kind of eat that sugar water in the front of the hive. Its disadvantage is it can be robbed because it's in front of the hive. It could make other hives come over there and rob your hive. The advantages are it's kind of easy just to keep it stuck on the front there. You can continue to inspect your hive. You don't have to worry about a frame inside your hive that has sugar in it or a top feeder with sugar on it on top of your hive. You can just put it in the front there and not worry about it. Difference in prices. Usually you can probably purchase a entrance feeder from us, I think $5 or $6. And the inside frame feeder is $6. And then the top feeder is around... how much are our top feeders, Sherry? Are they $15, $16? A ballpark figure? You don't really... I think they're like $15. So that's a look in several different ways you can feed your bees when they need fed. You find the price yet?
$16
for that plastic top feeder. Another good alternative to pollen, natural pollen, is to buy pollen patties. You can actually begin feeding your bees pollen patty early spring, late winter. They're not going to eat it if they don't want it. If they're still in cluster and the queen's not laying good, they're not going to eat that pollen patty. But boy, when they need it, they need it. And I do feed most of my hives these pollen patties, and some of them really enjoy it. It does stimulate the queen to start laying when she sees that there's available pollen through these patties. And we do sell these pollen patties as well. Already made up with wax paper around them. Put the wax paper and all in there. Don't take the wax paper off. You don't want these things getting moldy in there. Wax paper, the bees just chew through that and get into the pollen. And that's very good to do that in late winter, early spring, before there's natural pollen out there. Well, that's not quite equipment, but it is in the sense that these are different types of equipment that you can use to feed your bees in the beehive. Well, that's all the time we have for you today here at Long Lane Honeybee Farms. You've been listening to Studio Bee Live, a daily podcast broadcast from Long Lane Honeybee Farms, informing you about beekeeping, helping you to become a beekeeper. And we do want to encourage you to be a beekeeper. If you're thinking about it, give us a call. We will help you get going. We manufacture all the beekeeping equipment, sell all the clothing, smokers, hive tool, package bees, nooks, and raise our own queens. We'd love to talk to you. Here's our telephone number, 217-427-2678. That number again, 217-427-2678. Check us out online at honeybeesonline.com. And if you have a question you'd like for us to answer on our program, we have a question and answer line. All you have to do is call in, leave your question on our answering machine, and we'll answer it on an upcoming broadcast. That number to call is 217-427-2430. That's 217-427-2430. And from Long Lane Honeybee Farms, this is David and Sherry reminding you to behave yourself.